This is the Podium Finish Live from Austin, Texas, and various points across the country. Here's your host, Rob Tiansen.
And a good day to everyone out there listening to us. Welcome to episode 101 of the Podium Finish Live, or TPF Live. I'm your host, Rob Tiansen, and I'm so glad that you could be joining me today because it's a special edition, our first real show of 2024, because we took a two-week hiatus. We needed it. The off-season's kind of just one of those times that you got to refresh before the grind of 38 weeks in a row of nothing but stock car action. That's right, folks. Lots of NASCAR talk coming up in these next 38 weeks. And I need all the help I can get to do these talks. So on this show, I'm joined by assistant editor Brooklyn Jackson and our old friend, who is now, of course, above the yellow line, or ATYL, also at TobyChrissy.com, and representing, of course, Austin Terrio's camp, as well as Team Hornady Development. Basically, she does more than I do. Taylor Kitchen. It's good to have her back. This is the ultimate show, so don't miss this one. Listen to the whole thing. Don't listen to me. Just listen to the girls. I'm just here to be useless. I'm kidding. I'm not useless. I hope I'm not. But anyways, I'm so glad to have Brooklyn and Taylor, and I'm glad you guys are here too, because for this edition of our show, we're on the final week of the offseason. Yes. I mean, technically it's over because in Daytona, they have a little thing called the Rolex 24 that's going on this weekend. So if you're into that kind of stuff with sports cars, well, you get to get out of your hole like the groundhogs and get to see some sports car action or Mazda MX-5 Cup action on Thursday and Friday. And of course, those lovely sports cars that look like they're from the 24th century or something like that. And then, of course, next weekend, it's the Busch Light Clash at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. So yes, a little bit of football, a little bit of NASCAR. So don't worry about that other pigskin sport that's going on if your team's out. I don't care about football right now. I care about motorsports. So before we talk about motorsports action, I would be remiss if I don't bring in Brooklyn, and then we'll bring in Taylor. So Brooklyn, how are you doing?
I'm good. I've been busy. I'm back at school with my little kids. We're just trucking away, learning back in the new year. Yeah.
And nobody's getting sick and we're over winter. Is that right?
So far, we're all staying healthy and I'm getting back in the motorsports zone.
I'm glad you are, because I know when I told you some stuff a few weeks ago, you were just like, really?
Something had been released like that morning and I had been like in a total like school zone. I hadn't even like looked at my phone, and you texted me about something and I was like, what?
Well, this edition, I'm sure there's nothing too shocking. So we're going to try to keep the shock factor down to a minimum on TPF Live episode 101. So it'll be a lot of fun, and we're going to have a lot of stock car talk to do here. So I'm glad you're here, Brooklyn. And Taylor, it's good to have you back. It's been a lot of episodes since you've been here. I think you did our Daytona preview last year, so I'm glad to have you back. How have you been doing?
Oh, busy. It's been so busy. But yeah, last time I was on the show, I was in my little apartment up in Bowling Green. And since then, graduated college and just living the college-free life. So lots of work, but lots of fun along the way.
Oh, congratulations. It's so awesome to be like graduated. You don't have to think about school. I know student loans are kind of a but.
Oh yeah, that's tricky.
Yeah, it is. But to say you've graduated, you did it, and you did it in style. That's awesome. And I know, you know, BGSU, you've made an impact on that university. And I know that it's going to be felt for several years.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You got it. Of course. Now, before we get into all the fun and games and talks about racing and catching up with Taylor and also hearing from our hot seat guest, Todd Gilliland, we've got to hear from our sponsor, SpoilerDiecast.com. So, Pass Rob, take it away. Hey, racing fans. Are you in the hunt for the latest diecast cars from Lionel Racing or F1 or IndyCar Diecasts? Well, look no further. If you head to spoilerdiecast.com, you'll find all of the latest and greatest diecast cars and get free shipping and 5% off of your orders if you use promo code TPF by spending $20 or more on your items. Head over to spoilerdiecast.com and let Evan and his team know that you want the best diecast cards around. And if you use promo code TPF, you'll be in the winner's circle. It doesn't get better than that. So just head on over to spoilerdiecast.com and make your latest purchases today. That's right, folks. If you use promo code TPF, you can get 5% off and free shipping on orders of $20 or more. And I don't mean on items that are in stock. You can do pre-order items and you get to save some money. And then pretty soon, those items will be in the mail. And as you know, folks, Lionel Racing is going to have some new tools with their Toyota Camry and the Ford Mustang Dark Horse entries in the Cup Series. And I believe that will also reflect in the Xfinity Series as well with the Fords. And of course, the Toyotas have the Supras and Chevrolet still has their Camaros. But nevertheless, get to it. And Evan and his team will get those diecast cars shipped to you real fast. In fact, I can tell you, I've got two cars here that I just purchased from spoilerdiecast.com. And these arrived within 2 days of me hitting order. Pretty easy, pretty fast. So I like them. They're friends of ours. So promo code TPF to get 5% off and free shipping on orders of $20 or more. Now, folks, I know you're ready. I'm ready. Taylor and Brooklyn are ready. It is time to get to Podium Perspectives, powered by SpoilerDiecast.com. Now, I know folks have been clamoring to us on social media, whether you're Taylor, Brooklyn, or me, or anyone on TPF or Toby Chrissy's team. When are we ever going to see a NASCAR docuseries on Netflix? We need to see one. F1's got Drive to Survive. I've seen the Bubba Wallace documentary. Where's the NASCAR one? I didn't really care for the one in Peacock. I mean, I thought that one's cool, but anyways. Folks, your prayers have been answered because next Tuesday, January 30th, NASCAR Full Speed is coming your way on Netflix. And if you hadn't seen the trailer yet on YouTube, do me a favor, listen to the whole podcast. Then after you're done listening to us, watch the trailer. I promise you, it's exciting. It's so cool. It's not even just getting to see the on-track action that is going to be riveting. It's the fact that we're going to see what the drivers are up to behind the scenes. Like, I don't want to spoil it. I want to hear what Taylor has to say and Brooklyn has to say. So before I hear my thoughts about, you guys hear my thoughts on this, let's hear from Taylor and Brooklyn about this special docuseries. Because I mean, I'm excited. I don't know if you guys are.
Yeah, I think for me, it's so cool that NASCAR is finally getting on the Netflix stage. And that's something I think we've needed for a while, especially seeing Formula One's Drive to Survive success. Do I think that success is going to translate the same exact way? I don't really think so, because Formula One is so global, NASCAR so based in the United States, but I would hope that at least some of that success would carry over. I will say every time I was at the track, I don't know about you, Rob, but I ran into the Netflix crew every single time and they were very diligent in their jobs. And I mean, everything looks fantastic. I think the storylines are sound and it is always so fun as a fan, even too, as somebody who works in the industry, to see these drivers kind of let their guard down a little bit and see what their life is like when they're at home. What's their process like? How do they get to the track and how do they prepare when they're going into the race weekend? So I'm really excited about it. We all know how the script plays out. We know who wins the championship, but there's probably a lot that we still don't know. That'll be really exciting to see play out in this docuseries.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I loved what I saw from the clips. I mean, I know you tweeted it on Wednesday, where I think Ryan's fiance Gianna was like, don't forget, you're Ryan effing Blaney. And I was like, oh my God, that's going to be a t-shirt. Like you said, it's going to have to be, right? And I think it's going to be cool. What I'm more captivated by is just wanting to know what the drivers are like behind the scenes. And yes, I did see the Netflix crew at Texas Motor Speedway. I ran into them all the time, I felt like. So part of me is hoping that we both show up somehow, like not like we were looking for the attention, but just like, right. Oh, I'm that little dot in that screen, you know, where's my SAG credits? No, I'm kidding. But I think for the fans at home, what I'm looking forward to seeing is like, what do they do to prepare? Cause I think we saw clips of Ross Chastain doing like the you know, calisthenics, like, you know, trying to get his reflexes on. Because I think people get to the misconception that these drivers just don't do anything. They just, you know, stay at home. They're not at the shop. So it'll be cool to see, like, who's really involved with their teams, who's more focused on their fitness, who balances their personal life when they're not in the race car and then get into the race car. So I'm really curious about that. And to your point, Taylor, I think, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be as big as Drive to Survive. I know that was a 10-episode series. I think this is only going to be, what, 5 episodes or so. So that, I hope Less is More is good. But I also know, and you know for a fact, that Drive to Survive kind of embellished a few things. All of us having covered NASCAR these last few years, in my case, several years, and all of us several years, some things are going to be blown out of proportion, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I definitely think so. But I think to your point, to piggyback off of something you said, is kind of, I feel like there's a misconception as to how much effort NASCAR drivers put into their fitness, their training, what they put into going behind the wheel and performing as athletes do. We see the intensity that these Formula One drivers, the intensity of their training that they put into every single race weekend. And NASCAR drivers do the same. Some are more intense than others, but it's very physical. It's very mental. You're going around in circles. And sometimes if you're at a road course, you're turning left and right for 100, 200, 300, 400, 500 laps. And it's a lot. So I think what will be really good about this docuseries in particular, because it'll reach a wider audience, is it should hopefully open up a new respect for NASCAR. As you know, folks that maybe think of NASCAR now probably don't think of, oh, it's not that physical, it's not that mentally challenging, it's just guys going in circles. I really hope this changes that narrative and gets more people invested in the sport. And if they're not invested, at least respect it a little bit more, I think would be the best case scenario with this docuseries for sure.
I like
that's
that.
That's what I've been looking.
Yeah, for sure, Brooklyn. Go ahead.
That's what I've been looking forward to since we learned that this was being filmed and produced, is just more people learning and the narrative getting clarified about what goes on behind the scenes and even on track.
And I think too is, like, fans may not know what they do, because unfortunately, when we talked a lot about this on previous podcasts, the accessibility to drivers is not as great as it used to be. So maybe this docuseries is going to shed some more light as to what they've been doing to, you know, when we don't see them outside of their hauler, or they're not on the grid for a race. So, you know, like, it would be kind of nice to see, you know, what Ryan and Gianna do, or what Ross's home life is like, you know, when he visits his family in the watermelon farm in Alva, Florida. And also William Byron. I know folks are aware of his hobby of Lego building, but, you know, as you see in the clip, folks, you'll hear him say, I'm competitive. I have to be good at this. And you can kind of get the sense that he's just a really serious, like, disciplined individual. So I think that's going to be fun. I mean, if you already have interviewed these people several times, it's not going to be a total spoiler. But like you said, Taylor, and like you said, Brooklyn, I think a lot of people are going to have more respect for what these individuals do. And I think there's going to be a lot more awareness of what goes on behind the scenes, whether it's being at the gym or, you know, hopefully being around the shop with these individuals, the men and women behind the scenes that makes NASCAR racing possible. And if it's successful, maybe we'll see an Xfinity Series one, because I know one of the most vocal individuals about that is Ryan Ellis. He's on X all the time saying, please, Netflix, get the Xfinity Series, show us. And I think that would be so sweet to see, because it's not just about junior motorsports. It's not about, you know, all of these front running, like RCR, big machine racing. It's, you know, Alpha Prime Racing trying to survive, literally, to make, you know, not only make profits, but just to, like, make the grade. So I think we've got to see more of that if this Cup Series full speed show works out. So, hey, if we see Doc Netflix at the racetrack, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to dismiss them. I want them to do what they have to do. So I'm excited. And we'll talk more about it next week on episode 102 with probably our thoughts on the show. I'm going to definitely be watching it next Tuesday and probably look really haggard and tired on Wednesday night when I record the show. But yes, folks, NASCAR Full Speed next Tuesday on Netflix. Now, for our next topic, we're going to talk about NASCAR rules. Yes, it does rule, But they announced this week that there's going to be a change in qualifying again. So to make it simple, what's going to happen is those who are in Group A who do not make it into the top 10, those will decide the positions from 12 through 40, the outside row. Group B will decide who will be in the inside row for positions 13 through 39. Does that sound a little confusing? Is that awesome? I'm curious to hear what Taylor and Brooklyn have to say. I think I made sense of it, but what do you guys think?
I definitely think that the goal of this new format is to make it to where one group doesn't have an advantage over the other. So if you qualify in Group A, you're qualifying, I believe it's for the outside line. If you're qualifying in Group B, it's for the inside line. And typically what we've seen this past season, or with this qualifying format that we've had, I guess, prior to this new one, is one group would have an advantage over the other because the track would be more worn in, there's more grip, et cetera. So I think it raises the stakes a little bit. It makes things a little bit more fair, which I'm all for. I'm all for fairness. Super speedways, that rules are changing as well. There's going to be no group qualifying for that one. It's just two rounds of qualifying, fastest time in round two, that's your lineup. So, I mean, I think all these changes that NASCAR made rules-wise, and I'm sure we'll get into some more as well, are for the better, and they make sense. They're not illogical changes, things to just shake things up. They're good. They're solid. So props to NASCAR for this. I think it'll make a lot of teams happy, leveling that playing field and qualifying.
Yeah, for sure. We need a bit of level playing field because you know how track sensitive some tracks are. I mean, when Charlotte's, you know, doing the oval races for the Coke 600, yeah, you could make an argument that Group B is going to have a big advantage over Group A back then. So now it's kind of like, it's not going to really hurt too much. It's just more, did you do your homework on the setup during practice in that brief moment of time? So I think that's going to be neat to see. And hopefully it's going to be a little bit more fair, because I don't want to hear politicking about, oh, you know, he had the cloud and I had the sun. It should just be about doing your job. If you didn't, well, you pay the price and you had to start in the rear. So that's, you know, those are great points you brought up, Taylor. What do you think, Brooklyn?
I think it'll be good to see, from a fan perspective, to see more than just like a few people win qualifying every week. Like a more diverse set of pole winners will be fun from a fan perspective.
Because we saw last year, Christopher Bell, especially in the second half, he became Ryan Newman 2.0. The guy, it doesn't matter where we work.
He definitely, I mean, I wasn't just going to like directly name drop him, but.
Oh, I did. I did. It's not insulting him too. I mean, the guy is just, I don't know what it is. He just was just on fire, whether it was Michigan or New Hampshire or, you know, Kansas. It didn't matter. He just knew how to get the pole. And in the latter half of the 2023 season, Martin Truex Jr. just knew how to get the pole at, like, Homestead in Martinsville. So I think, to everyone's point, we want to have some fairness, some parity, because obviously when you see the same person winning the pole, and then it's kind of like, who cares? Let's get to the race. I'd rather sacrifice qualifying and just have practice time, which we need to have more of. But that's a whole nother conversation for a whole nother time. But I think it makes, people like to say, make it make sense. And I think, to me, this makes it a little bit less muddled, because there would be times when I'm at the racetrack that I'm awfully confused. When I look at the monitor and I'm like trying to like tweet or make an article, and I'm like, how, what, 18th? I thought they were 12th. This doesn't make sense. So like, this makes it a lot more crystal clear. Like, if you did this, you did this. Like, that's just how it is. And yeah, there's been quite a few rules changes in the NASCAR rule books. Nothing too crazy, because I do have access to the NASCAR rule book. Besides that, I know that the Xfinity series, there was a rules change as well that people are a little bit upset about, but honestly, it's probably just like cutting your nails and it doesn't really kill anything. It's just more, I think they reduced the fuel capacity to 9 gallons, which, let's be fair, I mean, with stages, we really don't see a lot of fuel mileage races. So is that of any consequence?
I think it's a positive for the fans in that way, because it makes the fuel mileage races a lot more tight, a lot more interesting. I mean, they're going from 12 gallons to 9. It doesn't feel like a huge difference, but in terms of strategy, it will be. And I think the big reason behind that, the Xfinity series director said, you know, if the teams brought it to our attention, if we want somebody who's a little bit smaller, somebody who maybe is a little bit older to be a fueler, it's less weight. It's a less awkward container because they're also very tall that they have to carry. So it's to make things a little bit more inclusive as well, which, I mean, I think is great. You know, like I try to lift one of the cans. I can't do it. I have noodle arms. I'm not strong. Not going to happen ever. But no, I think it's a good change. I think that was the only change where people were like, was this necessary? I think it is. I mean, but it'll make things more interesting for the fans. So if fans are mad about it, this is actually going to benefit you. If you like fuel mileage races, if you like close calls on that end, you'll enjoy this. So,
in other words, people, shut your trap. Yeah. Just wait and see. I'm being really blunt today. I don't know why, but
you gotta be blunt sometimes.
Yeah, I'm a nicer Dave Moody. Okay, that's how I see it. But no, that's an excellent point because you see in the pit crews. I mean, I'm not gonna dance around it. We see women who are now not just tire changers or tire carriers. I know y'all probably know this personality named Infield Jen. Jen Keselowski, mm-hmm. She sometimes does some fueling. So, I mean, I respect her for even trying to carry that thing and pack that gravity fed fuel canister into the car. I couldn't do that. Okay. And I have gotten in better shape. I know for a fact I couldn't do that. I can't even lift a tire. Okay. So they're heavy. You gotta do your time at the gym, do your fitness, eat really well. And I think that's a great change. And we do need to see that because to be quite honest, I want to see some fuel mileage races at these ovals so that there is a bit of like drama and excitement when we get to the latter half of the year. And yes, not to sound like Rick Allen, playoff implications, you know, fuel mileage. Yeah. It's good times. And another thing we should talk about that I just realized, we will actually have live pit stops at the standalone races this year in Xfinity and trucks. Now I know in Xfinity, we only have that one standalone race in Portland. So it's like, okay, but hey, I like this. You know, I don't want to see, you know, the NASCAR halftime show with these pit stops. I get that before we're trying to cut money, to save money rather. And now if you're not going to be pitting for a cup team and it's, you know, at a certain racetrack, I think in Gateway this later this year, guess what? You might get the call to be in Portland. So, I mean, that's the way I see it. What do you think, Taylor in Brooklyn? What are your thoughts on this?
I think, again, I think that makes the strategy for those races a lot more interesting and more exciting to see them play out.
Yeah, I definitely think it. I mean, teams have different pit strategies. If you're all going to pit at once with non-competitive stops, you don't really have a choice, right? So it will, to Brooklyn's point, make strategy more interesting. I think, too, it keeps consistency. I know some people were like, oh, the point situation could have shaken out differently if this was competitive, if this wasn't. I get that, and I'm here, and I agree with you. So I think just consistency across the board, I think what NASCAR has been trying to do with these new rules and just kind of new regulations, even, too, with, like, there being no I guess getting rid of the stage cautions, I should say, last year that we did the road courses and NASCAR was like, oh, never mind. And then we're being consistent this year and we're just keeping stage cautions in. Consistency, long story long, is the word of the day. So I'm a big fan of that change. It's very positive.
I'm just happy to see it because when you go to a stock car race or a stock truck race, you want to see pit stops. You don't want to see like, oh, competition, you know, pit stop, everybody is just, it's everybody wins, you know, you want to see some element of unpredictability. And yeah, if you dominated and, you know, your tire changer screwed up because the air gun just broke, well, I'm sorry. That's just part of the game of racing. And I want to see that. So I'm happy to see that at Portland. And I'm really happy in the truck series that we're going to see this at IRP in July. And especially at the Milwaukee Mile, which, you know, last year's race without the pit stops, I was just like, man, this would never happen from 1998 to, you know, 2010. So I want to see me some pit stops. So I love it. It's going to give those young pit crew members too a chance to do something meaningful because when, you know, you're waiting to get if you're a contractor, like our friend Brianna O'Leary, you're waiting to find out, like, hey, am I going to be on the pit crew? So this is going to be giving you a chance. So if you're not called up to the cup roster, you know, like a community team or truck team may give you that chance. So I love it. You know, we got to have that happen. So I love all the changes I've seen from the NASCAR rules this year. More of those, less on the cars. I don't want to hear about, you know, 5-and-5 rules or, you know, let's give Toyota an extension on their nose piece. Let's just have some racing, please. I'm ready. I'm so ready for that. And speaking of racing, let's get to it with talking about the Busch Light Clash. I'm super stoked about it. Now, I'm not super stoked about racing in the football stadium for a third year in a row, but it's been a long winter. I'm ready to see anything at this point. It might as well be a race at Home Depot, and I would watch that at this point. I'd be so stoked.
I think a lot of people are at that point.
Oh, yeah. We are. It's seriously gotten to that point. There's only so many classic NASCAR races I can watch. So, of course, ladies and gentlemen that are listening to us, we are going to have the Busch Light Clash again. And, of course, that race will be on Sunday, February 4th, 8 p.m. East Coast time on the mothership station for Fox. 150 laps with a time break at lap 75. Now, we're not going to really talk about the race format because if I did that, we're going to be here for another hour. I mean, I wouldn't mind, but we have other things to do, of course. So let's just get to the hot topic of the whole thing about the Busch Light Clash. Now, I know a few weeks ago, everyone made a big stink that, you know, fans couldn't be attending the Saturday practice and heat race situation. Mm-hmm. Guess what? NASCAR heard everybody out, or at least said, you know what? Shh. Okay, I got you. Because they're going to get new fans to be at the grandstands for free. For free. That doesn't happen at the points races. Much less the All-Star race. So fans, don't bully. Just complain like you did, and you'll get what you want for the most part. I'm excited for that because this might bring in some new fans to see some stock car action. And then, of course, we've got the main event with Machine Gun Kelly as the halftime performer. I don't know who the hell he is. I'm sorry. I listen to older music, so if
you're not missing anything, Rob, you're not missing anything.
Oh, thank God. Okay. I'm sorry. Like, a lot of people in the TPF chat rooms are like, yes, Machine Gun Kelly. And I'm like, who?
Yeah.
No.
Is this a violent? Is this a violent rapper? No, like, I feel like those parents in the 90s are like, should I have my kid? You know, parental advisory needed? Like, oh my God. And then I was like, oh. Who? Anyways. Yeah. We're not here to talk about Machine Gun Kelly. We're not here to talk about Machine Gun Kelly and Megan Fox, because that would turn us to
tears. You know more than you just let on.
Yeah. Oh my God, I did.
You brought Megan Fox into this.
You knew they were married.
Oh no.
Oh my goodness.
Oh no.
I have to agree. Yeah. Oh, you're not missing anything. Completely agreeing with Taylor. You're not missing anything.
Well, I'm sure the fans in YouTube who are watching, they'll watch this clip will go, what a boomer Rob is. Sorry. Oh, yeah, I guess I know a little bit more. Let's just say I don't care. I'm just here to talk about the racing, okay? But let's talk about not Machine Gun Kelly. Let's talk about the fact that NASCAR said, okay, folks, we got you, all right? Or I'll talk like I'm talking to a girlfriend. It's okay, baby girl. I got you. We're going to get you to the grandstands. Is that what you want? Is that okay? Is that good? What do you think about this? I'm sorry. I put that really, really too succinctly. We'll start with Taylor and then Brooklyn, and then I'll shut up, okay? I promise. Go ahead, Taylor.
Really, you think NASCAR was kind of like consoling us like we just got broken up with? We're like, excuse me? Like, we don't have access to the heats or qualifying or practice on Saturday? Like, what gives? Like, you know, I mean, you buy your ticket, you think you're going to at least get that. So I think it was the right move. NASCAR really backed up and they were like, whoa, I'm sorry. We were in the wrong. Or like Rob, you hinted towards, we got it. We hear you. We don't want to hear this anymore. You're welcome. Whichever one it was, it doesn't matter because fans get in free. And the whole point of the clash being at the Coliseum is to bring in a new demographic of fans. The sorority girls, the college kids, the party goers that are all in LA. Like, it's supposed to bring in different folks who otherwise wouldn't watch NASCAR. And whether it's been successful or not, I don't know, but it's a really fun, really cool event that I've heard from people that have gone. It's better in person than it is on TV. And I think over the past few years, me watching on TV, it feels awkward. I'm like, I feel like I should be there partying, but like instead I'm watching a really weird intermittent like concert, and it feels wrong. But if this event, so this non-points ping, is serving the fans that are there and they have a great time and they leave saying, I want to watch more NASCAR races after this, I don't care if I have an awkward experience at home. Like, it's fine by me. But I will say, I think the Clash of the Coliseum has run its course and ready to go somewhere else. I know that's probably another talking point, but the fans, though, should have a great time Saturday without restrictions. Even if you don't have a ticket for the main event on Sunday, you can go take advantage of it for sure.
Yes, take advantage of it, enjoy it, and then you can see Machine Gun Kelly. Okay, go ahead, Brooklyn. I'm sorry, Taylor.
Oh, bless. So I definitely agree that this is to bring in a different, having it at the Coliseum is to bring in a different demographic of fan that you would normally get. I think we can all agree that that's the purpose of them having it at the Coliseum. I do feel like we're at a point where we're all kind of like, could we maybe like go somewhere else? Like, I feel like, kind of like Bristol Dirt, I feel like we're all like, okay, we had our fun, like let's just not anymore. But as far as the fans getting in free for qualifying, I feel like that was on NASCAR almost saying, like, banking on like, will they notice, will anyone like talk about it, and hoping we wouldn't. And then they were like, kind of like, well, dang it, like they notice and it's become like a huge thing, so okay, fine, here, just shh, be quiet, like it's fine, we got you.
Like I said, it's like if you're the girlfriend or the boyfriend or, you know, whatever, and your partner is a little upset that you said something a little wrong and they caught you on it, hey, you gotta fess up, you know. Yeah. like I said,
okay, fine, we were wrong here, like,
yeah.
Yeah, like, it's like, baby girl, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, boo. I got you. I'll
this
get you
is
that diamond
the
ring.
Apology box of chocolates and roses.
Yes.
That's what this is.
Right. I seriously don't think they thought it would be as big of a deal as we made it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. Does anybody care about practice for an exhibition race?
Yes, because the heats, and I will say the heat races are typically better than the main event itself. And we've seen this time and time again. So especially like with the All-Star race, with the heats or the qualifying rounds. So I thought when I heard this news, I'm like, this is a disservice to the fans. This is what gets the engines revving to see the main event. This is what gets you excited. You're like, oh, we just saw aggressive racing guys trying to make it into the main event. I can't wait to see the main thing if we're all hyping it up to be like this. So I think this year it matters more than ever before, just with the new qualifying format and things like that. So this year, I think it's a great idea to bring fans in.
That's true. I completely forgot. We don't have those the traditional qualifying. It's going to be what happens in the heat. So yeah, this does matter. So okay, NASCAR, you're right. You were the guilty party in this. So good job. Atta boy or atta girl, atta you. Good job. Here's a Cupid doll. You know, so let's all have fun. And then we get a week off from each other. And then we come back for Speed Week at Daytona. Everyone's been saying, y'all have been saying we need to have this elsewhere. It's run its course. That's kind of my sentiment as well. I'm not criticizing the NASCAR, so don't at me. Don't hate me. But if we're going to have the clash, I'm old school. Let's bring it back to Daytona. I don't mean like to have a wreck fest, but make it just pole sitters only from last year. And if we didn't have too many pole sitters, because Christopher Bell's going to be that kid who studied too much and, you know, passed in his assignment while everyone else is like struggling, and you have like the jocks and the cheerleaders all cheating off of each other because that's what happens in school. Let's do this. Let's have some wild card entries, okay? Let's have somebody who, I don't know, like a fan vote get in or something, or a past cup champion get in, and then make it an exclusive race. And oh, here's a thought for our generation. Let's have a 20 lap race. Caution laps don't count, no stages, and that's it. I know 20 laps sounds kind of like, you know, an iRacing event with your friends, but Hey, that would be kind of fun, and it gets over with, and then boom, you want Daytona 500 next Sunday. So that's my opinion. It's like a TV dinner.
Here's my thought. You started to describe what sounded very similar to the All-Star race. So my question is, does the Clash even matter anymore? Do we just move the All-Star race up and that's how we start our season?
I honestly have been asking myself that question, Taylor, since 1992.
Look, this has been a long time coming, so
Oh, yes. You're not the only one in this club. And I have honestly asked myself this for so long because, not to give a long history lesson, because I know we got to get to our next topic. 1979, we all know that the Bush Clash was created. We know that was more of a TV event from CBS to kind of give viewers a preview of what would happen the following Sunday for the Daytona 500. And of course, lo and behold, everybody in the East Coast got trapped by that blizzard. And everybody in the East Coast, maybe my parents, were watching that race and saw Cale and Donnie fighting on the last lap because they all wrecked, and Richard Petty won his sixth Daytona 500. Okay, great. And we had the Bush Clash running every year at Daytona as a preview for the Daytona 500. Oh, 1985, Winston's like, wait, don't forget about us and our cigarettes, because we're going to have the All-Star race at Charlotte Motor Speedway the day before the Coke 600. Think about that one, folks. That's kind of a crazy thought. Imagine having the All-Star race the day before the longest race of the year. Well, we did that in 85. And the person who happened to win both races, Darrell Waltrip. Now, from 1985 to maybe about 01, I would say it worked. It was fun. We needed a little bit of dashing because back then we didn't have 38 races. We had, what, 29, 32 races a year? So we had 20 weekends to do nothing. But now it's like 38 weeks. And then, of course, we all know after the Olympics, there is nothing but stock car action from like August till mid-November. I don't know about you folks. That's a long, long time.
a long
And
time.
that's, it is a long time. Whether you're, working as a journalist or a podcaster or personality, or you're actually at the racetrack, that's a grind. And I agree with you, Taylor. I've gotten to the point where I'm like, let's just have one All-Star race, okay? One. And then we're cool. We can have another week off or move up the season so we can end it a little earlier. I don't know. That'd be kind of cool.
I'm with you.
If
Yeah.
it, I think it's run its course. So if that means we consolidate the Clash, then it is what it is. It's okay. Don't cry that it's over. Cry, smile that it happened. I don't know, whatever that saying is. I've heard that
One of
saying
those
way too
quotes.
much. Yeah, it's one of them useless quotes, but I think we have to get to the point where we have to think which one is the more fun one. Obviously, in my opinion, I love the All-Star race. Okay. It's just it's such a wild card event. Although last year we didn't know Kyle Larson was that kid who turned in his homework early
Oh,
and
yeah.
everyone else was like angry as hell, but it was fun. So that's our thoughts on the Clash. And apologies to anyone who listened to the show and likes Machine Gun Kelly. I know you're probably going at me after the show, but
We, yeah, it nothing against him, but
Not our cup of tea.
no, not our cup
Please
of
don't
tea. Hashtag
hate
not our cup of tea.
us.
Oh man. Megan Fox, don't hate me. I like you in Transformers.
Megan Fox,
Don't
find
block
us.
us. Don't find us. Oh my God. If she finds us, man, I'm telling you, we're in a lot of trouble. So
We're in for
yeah, we're in for it. Well,
it.
Autobots, let's transform to the next topic before I turn red as the Busch Light Clash logo. Anyways, let's do some winning time picks for the Rolex 24. Now, I know maybe not all of us follows IMSA, but I can safely tell you each year it's either Wayne Taylor Racing or Action Express Racing who wins it. So we'll start with Taylor, then Brooklyn, and then me. Who's going to win the Rolex 24 overall race win?
So I am very new to IMSA. So the only thing I was told was look out for Wayne Taylor Racing. So let's just make that my bet. Like if
Yeah.
there's anything I know about IMSA, that's it. But I'm excited to watch hopefully most of it this year, fingers crossed. But if you've never watched it, go for it. Watch it. Be part of the fun.
What about you, Brooklyn?
Yeah, I'm in a very similar boat to Taylor. I was also told about Wayne Taylor, So I'm gonna just jump in the Wayne Taylor boat and let's go Wayne Taylor racing. I'm excited to dive more into IMSA this year, and see what all goes on at the Rolex 24.
And I think what's exciting about this too is for me, who's getting more into IndyCar as well, there's crossover. There's drivers that race in IndyCar that will be in this. So that makes it a little bit more exciting for me to watch as well. So for sure, that's another thing too. If you're like, I don't really know if I want to watch this, but you like IndyCar, that's another incentive too.
I think my last count is it's more than a baker's dozen that's going to be representing IndyCar at this event. So, you've got the Penske boys, Joseph Newgarden there. You've got Romain Grosjean there, Pato O'Ward's there, Alex Palou, who actually is starting second for the Ganassi efforts with Cadillac. He's there with Scott Dixon. We even have some F1 people there too. I mean, Jenson Button, the 2009 champion for F1, he's there. And of course, I think Paul DiResta was one of them. I heard it. I saw his name on the board there, but there's a lot of other people. Catherine Legg, who ran in last year's Indy 500. I mean, props to her. She's going to be there. And Gradient Racing's effort, which is mostly women and one male driver. So, of course, I'm going to keep my eyes on them, not just because of Catherine, but because it's a local team here in Texas. They actually are headquartered just outside of Austin. So, as a Lone Star guy, I'm, of course, going to keep my eye on them. But y'all have mentioned Wayne Taylor Racing. Let's not forget, Wayne Taylor has two efforts this year for a change. They have their traditional number 10 car, which is captained by, I believe, Ricky Taylor, who is been there for through thick and thin toward that family-owned team. And then Ricky Taylor, who's in the 40 car. And those boys just happen to be starting fifth and sixth in row three. So, which of the Taylor boys is going to fare better? Is it going to be the ever popular Jordan Taylor slash Rodney Sandstorm or the more quieted and reserved Ricky Taylor?
That'll be
I gotta
exciting to
go
watch.
Rodney Sandstorm.
Oh yeah, go for it. We love him.
He's
Can't
a
root against
firecracker.
Rodney Sandstorm.
No, you cannot. And I know for a fact that Jordan's super stoked to come back to the family team after racing for Corvette Racing for the last 3 years with Pratt and Miller. So I'm looking forward to it. I was a little bummed that the brothers are not racing on the same entry, but at least they're racing for the same team this time, so that's cool. But y'all have gone with the Wayne Taylor Racing, and it sounds like you're all going to pick the number 40 entry to go and win this all. That will consist of Louis Delatraz, Colton Herta from IndyCar, Jenson Button, the F1 champion, and of course, the aforementioned Jordan Taylor. In my case, I am going to stick with Chip Ganassi Racing in this case. I think Sebastian Bourdais, Scott Dixon, Alex Palou, and Ranger van der Zand is going to go and win this whole thing in the number 01 entry. Now, my last question about the Rolex 24, thank you. The last pick. A question about this before we move on to the next topic. Are any of you going to be team no sleep? I'll safely answer my question. I'm not.
No,
No.
Yeah, no. I value my sleep a lot, and I would not be like I can't function off like s less than 7 hours of sleep. So
Yeah, I feel like I'm nocturnal just regardless. So sleep is never a fun thing for me. But I love my afternoon naps, Rob, in Brooklyn. I really do. So I think I'm gonna end up having to sleep a little bit during this.
Well, at least you both defend me on being team sleep because I got a lot of heat from some people. I'm not going to name them because one of them lives two blocks down the road from me. He is team no sleep for the fifth year in a row. And I told him, God bless you. Because when you're no longer in your 20s and you hit 30, you're going to want all the sleep in the world. And that Monday morning was going to feel like a hangover. So.
Can't
And
do it.
I told our writers and photographers, you're not getting any bonus points from me for staying up the whole 24 hours. So I will, if that makes me, if you're gonna at me on that one, folks, go ahead. But yeah, Rolex 24, it's gonna be on this weekend, and that will be on various networks on the NBC family and of course on IMSA.TV. So catch that and also catch the action on Thursday and Friday. when we drop this podcast, you might be listening to it and watching the MS5 Cup race. So if I may say, go Sally Mott, number 15, Spark Performances entry, because she's from Waco, Texas. And if you know us Texans, we always support each other. So go Sally. Or ride, Sally, ride. There, my dad joke for the day. Moving on, let's get to our last topic before we go to the hot seat segment. And it's basically our open talk with Taylor, or as I'm going to call this segment, ATYL XTPF, whatever that means for the youngsters at home. I'm trying to sound hip. So, of course, as you know, folks, Taylor started off with us at TPF, but also had ATYL before all of that. But over the years, Taylor has acquitted herself as one of the most brilliant, one of the most genuine personalities that I know in motorsports media. I mean, if you watch her content on Toby Christie's website and her channel on YouTube, you know I'm not BSing you when I tell you that I think she's a regular watch for me. I love what she has to say. I love her opinions, everything she brings to the table. It's just so genuine. And the live streams are epic too. So if you love live streaming, Taylor's your ticket to watching live streams, because she does a little bit of everything. Including racing video games, which I love to see, because like I'm an old fart at age 38, so I love seeing her play the games I used to play, and I'm like, oh man, this makes me feel like I'm 18, but I'm 20 years older. Poop. But anyways, it's not about me, it's about Taylor in this segment. So as you know, folks, after 2022, Taylor moved on, but we always support Taylor. She's still a part of the TPF family, and you know, I'm not going to keep talking on. This is about her. So let's go have Taylor talk about what she's been up to since 2022. So after that day that you and I met up and you made the decision, of course, ready by me, of course, to, you know, move on. What have you been up to?
Yeah, so the rest of 2022, I started my work with Toby Christie and transitioned there, kind of, you know, working for them, doing content on a part-time / full-time capacity. And also around that same time is when I got a message from Austin Terrio, Arca Champ, former cup driver for Rick Ware Racing. And he was like, we need somebody to help build a social media type of thing for our drivers. We need them to have social media marketing within our program, and we need someone to build it. And I was like, sure, why not? New opportunity, let's go for it. So I started working with Austin on the social media side, and since then it's grown into marketing, PR, communications, literally everything. I'm learning all of it, and that blossomed into an opportunity with Ron Hornaday at Team Hornaday Development in April of this year, last year, 2023. Helping them with their marketing and media as well. And I've been working really closely with Ron's daughter, Candace, who is an absolute joy. I love working with her. I love working with Austin too. But it's been so cool to learn from her and all of her experience and hearing some stories of, you know, her growing up and everything that she's learned from her dad. And so right now I'm working with 7 different drivers, helping them with their social media and helping them find sponsors and doing media training. It's been all encompassing. And I didn't think that me doing videos, which Rob, you know, I started off doing audio only, just very awkwardly talking into my phone. And then it transitioned into me still using my phone for a microphone and then using a DSLR camera. And like from all of that, from 2021 until now, I didn't think that my work there and betting on myself would get me to working with drivers and with teams. So long story long, that's what I've been up to, which is a little bit of everything right now.
And that sounds like an amazing life you've had since being with us in 2022, because just what you said, representing 7 different drivers is a tall task. So I've got to ask you, how do you manage all of that? Not just with the timing, but like the priorities, like the responsibilities. How do you do it so that there's still time for Taylor to do what Taylor wants to do?
That's a great question. The answer is, I don't know. It's more of I don't know, but it's just the ability to multitask and to prioritize in my head. I'm like, okay, if a driver needs a marketing deck by Friday, this is something I probably shouldn't be doing on a Tuesday. Let's think of what a driver needs today. So it's really prioritizing day of tasks versus end of week tasks. It's prioritizing, okay, I need to get back to the sponsor today, or they need some time to think, so I'll check back in with them next week. And then you add all that into, when does NASCAR news come out? When do I need to make a video? When am I going to be at the track reporting? When I'm at the track reporting, that's my sole focus that weekend. So it's letting my other employers know for the driver development side, hey, I'm off limits this weekend. We're reporting, and everyone's worked together so great. Every side understands that I'm working for like five different people right now. And, you know, they've been really great at, you know, helping my development. What's fun is, you know, Team Hornaday Development, AT Racing Development, their job is to help drivers grow, but they've also taken a chance on me and helped me develop my professional skills as well as a non-race car driver. So that's pretty cool. But a lot of it too, Rob, is list making, five different calendars, color coding everything. So I literally, in front of me right now, I'm looking, I have three calendars and one whiteboard with a to-do list. So this is what keeps me sane, but I think right now I want to have it any other way. It's just kind of a whirlwind of experiences that I think any time later in life I would not be able to do. So I'm just taking it in as I'm doing it now.
I love that you mentioned that, because organization is key to doing everything you're handling. And when you were describing that, I was just like, I hope Taylor has a calendar. I hope she has an Outlook or a Google calendar to get this all done. And you mentioned color coding and all that. I'm like, man, you are the right person to do everything you're doing, even if it sounds a little bit overwhelming. And I've got to ask you, like, how do you, you talked about kind of how you manage it, but you also, I'm just curious, like, how do you as an individual try not to get overwhelmed and you're like, oh man, I'm going to let people down. And like, how do you keep positive about things?
Yeah, I think the one thing I always think about to myself is take things in chunks. If I think about 5 million tasks at once and I just put it under a whole umbrella, I will panic and I'll get overwhelmed. But that's not the healthy thing to do. The healthy thing is to say, let's break this apart. I have a press release that I need to get out on Friday, and I'm panicking because I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to talk to three different people. I have to put the quotes together. I need a photo. I need a driver quote. Let's take it step by step. What needs to be done when? So it really is managing that. But also a lot of my learning after college was, let's have some time for Taylor. Let's figure this out. What makes me happy? And a lot of the positivity of being out of school right now, though I love my experience at Bowling Green State University, is that I actually have extra time for me. So doing things that I love outside of racing, though it is also my hobby and my love, it's also my job. So like I've been going to coffee shops every Friday and just trying out new coffee shops and new menu items just as like a little end of the week treat. Because my hours aren't defined. I might be working from like maybe noon until like 3 a.m. One day it might be 8 a.m. until 6. It really is what my clients need from me and what news comes out. So it's keeping in mind, you know, what things make me happy, what things help me decompress from the stress, but also recognizing that things can be broken apart and everything is not as overwhelming as it seems if you're able to do that.
I like the way you put that, Taylor, because to me, it's almost like if you purchased a model kit car that's like level 2 and above, you know, that's going to involve some glue, it's going to involve some paint. And if you look at the box, you're going to probably have a panic attack. But if you just do it methodically, you're just like, I can do this. Let's not worry about building the whole car. Let's actually just focus on, you know, maybe putting the chassis together. And if I do that, that's a victory for me for that period of time. I don't know how long it's going to be. Like you said, it's a flexible situation. So it's so cool that you're getting to do that. And like you said, trying out new coffee, you know, flavors and stuff, like getting that tailored time, because I have found that when you're involved in racing or a passion, people get the misconstrued conception that just because you love to do something, it's not a job. But you said it right there. It's still your job. So do you sometimes find it to be a bit of BS when people say, hey, if you get to do something you love, it doesn't feel like a job at all?
Ooh, that's a good question. Sometimes I feel that that's a little bit of BS where it's, you love what you do, so it shouldn't be a job. But I also subscribe to the thought that if you love what you do, you never work a day in your life. But just like with any job, whether it's content creation, PR, whether you're doing something hands-on like plumbing, whatever job you have, you will get overwhelmed because work and jobs can overwhelm you. It can stress you out. You can get burnt out. And I think with the long season that we have, it is so easy to get burnt out regardless of how much you love what you're doing, no matter how much you love motorsports. I was so excited for the off season, but I also knew off season is when things kick into high gear with partnerships. If you don't have some for your drivers, you are spending hours upon hours every single day searching for companies. And though I'm not focused on more like race recaps, that's where my focus goes towards, but it's something a little different, a little fresh. So yeah, it's still work, but I love my job. And you just got to learn to manage it, really. But it does get overwhelming sometimes.
It's the personal aspect that I think people need to take into consideration when people are like, oh, you know, you're too soft, because back in the day, people worked from like 8 to 8 to 8 and they didn't complain. It's like, no, it doesn't matter. Like, this is a different generation. We all going to react differently. And yeah, it is tough what you're doing. And I admire what you're doing, to say the least, because you're not out there to fail. You're out there to succeed. And obviously it takes that can-do attitude. You know, employers say that can-do attitude, that positive mental attitude. But that's one thing I know that you never feign. You've always had that, whether with us, whether your channel, Toby Christie, or what you do with AT Development and Team Hornaday Development as well. And also too, you're still a journalist, because I know for a fact last year you covered the races, I believe, at Michigan and the Charlotte Roval. So I have to ask you from that perspective, I know you did the Mid-Ohio race with us in 2022, but what was it like to do those races last year, especially knowing Michigan was like a race to the playoffs, and then you were actually at a critical cutoff race last year?
That was so exciting. The first time I went to the track was when I worked with you all at the podium finish for Mid-Ohio in 2022. And I just loved being in the thick of it, being able to talk directly to the drivers, get the stories right there. Like, it's what I've been craving as a journalist. And I've done a lot of local news training, not saying I would ever not go into local news someday in my later career. But for right now in my life, I don't like local news. It bores me. It's like, it's the same old type of stories. And I'm like, oh, give me something fresh. Going to the racetrack was the refresh that I wanted. So being able to go this year and cover the Truck Series, the Xfinity Series, ARCA, and Cup was so thrilling. And to be there at crucial moments too, of course, some of them during rain and weather, was so exciting. And getting to meet these people that I've looked up to my entire, I guess, career, journalistic-wise, was also very thrilling. And something that I've learned and I'm thankful for with all these different roles is I don't feel like I'm ever totally burned out creatively, because I have so much to focus on in the marketing side and PR side. I'm not burned out on the marketing and PR side because I have creativity to go to. So it's the best of both worlds. And I felt actually, now that I had more of the PR and marketing skills, that when I go to the track, I'm using them a little bit more. It's not just journalistic Taylor with her hat on. She has a little like branded thing on the side that also says marketing and PR. Like, I'm kind of juggling everything together at once, which is really cool. But I don't know. There's just something different about being at the track and being able to talk to the drivers and not being nervous to ask questions. I really was kind of shocked that I wasn't like shaking in my boots trying to ask Brad Keselowski a question. I just was confident and I did it. And then I wrote a story and then we move on. But it's crazy. And then this year I'm going to many more tracks. I think I'm going to 6 or 8 different tracks this year. So I'm a little nervous. But it's such a great opportunity to continue growing as a journalist, as a content creator, and building that network and connections. So thrilling, to say the least, with being able to go to the track.
I love hearing your growth and evolution as an individual, personally and professionally, and how you were able to step up to the plate to feel comfortable behind the mic and asking those questions. Because yes, it can be daunting. I mean, we all know that these are human beings at their day jobs or night jobs, depending on what race you're at. But of course, if you love the sport, these are our idols, okay? Like, I'm not trying to like make us professional, unprofessional. It's awesome. I mean, you don't get to go elbow to elbow with, like, I don't know, Kyle Larson or William Byron every week. And if you do, it's still there's a wow factor to it. And I know, Brooklyn, you went through that too at Kansas. I mean, I kind of threw you to the wolves, to be honest. And we were talking about your situation, Taylor, and it made me think about when I kind of was like, hey, Brooklyn, go to Kansas. She's like, okay, I want you to ask Kyle Larson some questions. And, you know, I thought you did a great job, but I'm just kind of curious, between the two of you, what was that like? Because, like, Brooklyn, I kind of want to get your thoughts on this too.
I did. Kansas was, I didn't know what, I kind of knew a broad idea of what to expect. But then, like you said, Joey Logano walks in the room. Kyle Larson walks in the room. And you're like, okay, I guess this is happening. Like, here we go. So I feel like, you know, Friday was the truck drivers. So I got to get sort of acclimated with the truck drivers. And then, you know, we moved up to the Xfinity drivers. So I feel like I was sort of taking baby steps like every day. And then we built up to the cup drivers. Like, for instance, the playoff media availability that was first thing on Saturday. Xfinity qualifying was happening. And so they were, I'm sorry, no, I said Xfinity Cup qualifying was happening on Saturday. Xfinity was not on track. And I noticed Joey Logano walk in the room and I'm like, okay, well, we can go talk to him. And then I almost walked by Ryan Blaney and I'm like, oh, hi. Like, I was just like zoned in and I was like, oh, and there was nobody by Ryan Blaney. And so I was like, oh, well, perfect. Like, I can just like have a one-on-one with Ryan Blaney. Like, let's go. And so that was kind of my first experience of like a one-on-one. I think I met so many of them that day. I'm trying to think of the first cup driver that it was a full presser that I think it was, and Rob, you may remember this as well. If I'm not mistaken, it was Kevin Harvick that I spoke
That's
to
right.
first.
It was.
I couldn't remember if it was Denny Hamlin or Kevin Harvick because it was 1-2 for sure, but I think Denny Hamlin was second. I think the first cup driver I spoke to was Kevin Harvick. And I was like, okay. Like, I was writing in the middle of writing an article and they made an availability for him. And so I was finishing up an article and then in walks Kevin Harvick. And it was, like I mentioned a second ago, okay, here we go. May as well start with one of the biggest wolves there is.
I mean, and that's the thing, you just dive right into it. And I think you alluded to this as well, but you kind of have a game face. You go into a certain mode where you're like, okay, like, I have glasses now. This is like a side note, but it's really not. I have glasses now where like you can't see my eyes. Like, they're the reflector type lenses. And I feel like once I put those on, like my laser focus is on, you can't see my emotion. It is go time. And that's how I feel like it is when you walk into the room or you have drivers walk into a room and you're ready to report with the NASCAR weekend. And like you said too, it was really helpful to kind of have that slow build towards the Cup Series, towards the sport's biggest stars, because you get to kind of work with the drivers in the lower series, kind of learn the function of how it works. And I do think that working at Mid-Ohio first with the Truck Series, and it's kind of the flow of the Mid-Ohio races are always just kind of just, they're loose. It's very relaxed. So having that be the first thing that I was able to experience was very helpful. And then you go to a race like Charlotte Motor Speedway, where things are very put together, very strict on timing, and your head is constantly on a swivel. Because like you said, there might be a driver like Ryan Blaney that's wide open, and everyone's cuddled around Kevin Harvick. You're like, okay, I guess I'll go talk to Ryan Blaney since nobody else wants to talk to him right now.
Right.
It's very fluid. But I think once you get your first just kind of big interview out of the way, or your first time at the track asking a driver a question, my first driver I asked a question to in the Cup Series was Ty Gibbs. I was kind of nervous, but at the same time, I'm like, it's Ty Gibbs. We'll be okay. You'll be good. You'll be fine. And after that, you just do your job. So it really is that just like, pinch me, I'm dreaming. And then it's like, okay, this is work. And then you go.
Right. And I experienced kind of the opposite of that. I talked to Kevin Harvick. That was Saturday morning. And I was like, I had spoken to Connor Mosack and several other truck and Xfinity drivers by that point. And so I was like, okay, well, we've talked to Kevin Harvick, so I can talk to any of them. Like, we just had a super good conversation, so let's do it. Like, let's talk to Ryan Blaney, Kyle Larson, William Byron.
And you did a great job that weekend. I was just so impressed because I felt bad. I just threw you to the wolves, but you were like, I'll do Kansas. And then we had Cole. And I thought you did a great job for someone who's a first time reporter, because I know it's daunting. Both of you mentioned the great points of where you gotta have that exciting moment before it's all about discipline. It's all work. I'm glad you both had gentle introductions, because mine was AJ Allmendinger in 2014.
Oh.
And I know him better now. We're actually friends. But in 2014, let's just say I was intimidated by him, because I had Isabel BC with me. And he's short, but we were just, both of us, me and Isabel, were just taken aback. We're like, oh my God, it's AJ Allmendinger, 2013 Indy 500 participant. And, you know, he won, you know, a bunch of kart races and stuff. And we were just so, we were so nervous. He noticed we were nervous, and he called us both out on that. And we left the interview feeling like red as we can be. And it was so obvious we were just not ready for prime time. So that's kind of where I'm glad both of you guys had such better experiences. Now, thank goodness y'all have the confidence. It took me a long time to have the confidence, but
Kevin Harvick could definitely tell I was nervous.
You're nervous, but you fake it till you make it. And I think if you lead with that confidence in yourself, you go, you know what? I'm not confident, but I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to go in like I know what I'm doing, and I'm going to learn along the way. It gets easier, and you somehow become confident in the process. That's my advice.
I absolutely faked it a lot in Kansas,
but by
by Sunday afternoon, I was 100% more confident than I was walking in Friday morning.
Yeah.
It was insane the amount of growth I felt in 72 hours in Kansas.
It was like going to the Pokemon gym, and you had to battle the gym master like four times, and then you finally beat him with Pikachu against his stone or rock element Pokemon. I'm sorry if I got it all wrong. I haven't played the game in 25 years. My point being is, yes, fake it till you make it. You build the confidence, and you, in my opinion, you just realize these are just people. Like, there's nothing to freak out about.
Right.
You know, and if you realize they're just people, then it gets a lot easier, and then you don't come up with a list of questions that look like you're got like a fast fact sheet. You just put little notes, and then you're like, you know what, let's just chill, let's have a conversation here, you know. And that's what I was so happy with you, Taylor, at Mid-Ohio. And then I read your articles, of course, on Toby's website, but then I saw you on TV, and I you stood out, because I was like, that's Taylor. I'm like, I'm so proud of her. Look at her. Like, she just looks like she fits in. She knows what the hell she's doing. I was like a proud father that day when I saw you on TV. I was like, I mean, I saw Steven, I'm like, he knows what he's doing. But when I saw you, I was like, she knows what she's doing. That's the belief I've had in her since I first saw her.
Thank you. First off, the TV appearance, I looked awful because it was a long day. But second, you mentioned Steven. And I would be crazy if I didn't mention that you and Steven were a big part of my development as a journalist, because as I was starting off with the podium finish, I was just starting off in my journalism degree. That's when I started taking the journalism classes, et cetera. And Steven and I have traveled to quite a few races together since he literally lives, 15 minutes away from my house. So we've been able to go to Mid-Ohio together, Michigan, the Roval. And I will just pick his brain and ask him questions about, like, how do you approach this interview? How do you approach this driver? Like, what kind of questions do they respond to? What do they not? What do you think of this story idea? And it's a very collaborative environment. And when you can find those environments in any work, but especially in journalism, you're going to grow. So shout out to Steven. Thank you, by the way, as well. But it's been a crazy learning experience, and I'm really excited for this year and all the opportunities that are going to be coming, and more learning and growing to do.
I hope personally that I get to see you at a race in 2024. Unlike you, I don't know if my races will be outside of COTA and possibly Indianapolis in July, because for the first time in my life, this is going to sound weird, I'm just going to be impromptu. I'm just going to just go with the flow.
I love it. I love
it. Yeah, just gonna be free as a bird and see what happens. And if it does happen, it happens. If it don't, it don't. And we'll figure it out. So hopefully we actually get to finally meet at a race, Taylor, because that would be awesome. Because I do want to prove I'm actually a real human being and not a screen. And like an AI, like from that Mahindra tractors. I'm not that AI. It looks like.
Oh, my goodness. That's another topic for another day.
That will probably be for our Women in Motorsports show in March. I will bring that up, and then I'll let y'all just, like, destroy that whole AI talk. Please do.
But I'll bring my receipts for that one.
Oh yes.
We'll bring Machine Gun Kelly for that. I'm sorry.
Oh, Megan Fox. We have to
bring Megan Fox. Megan Fox. Yes. Not MGK. Ooh, how did I know that nickname? Okay. Ooh. Anyways, front and center, back to the last topic before we get to hot seat. And I want to keep talking, but I know we've got a time limit on our show. So Taylor, of course, as a respected journalist and personality and obviously someone who knows her stuff in racing, let me ask you, what are your season predictions as far as 2024 is concerned in the Cup Series? Let's just start off with simple stuff, like who is going to be the Cup, Xfinity, and Truck champion? Just shot in the dark. Don't even research, just guess.
God, Rob. Okay. So my heart is telling me Denny Hamlin, because I will say one of my predictions for 2024, I have an episode that's going to come out on the 25th with my preseason predictions on my channel. One of my predictions is there's going to be a new champion in every series, in the top three series of NASCAR. Mm-hmm. I think we could get that this year because we were close. We were close this year, but not quite. So I think Denny Hamlin for Cup. For Xfinity, I think it's the year for the old guys. I think Justin Allgaier finally gets it done, hopefully. And for Truck, this is where I'm like, I might go younger. Oh, gosh, for Truck. I know Grant Enfinger, the equipment just isn't there right now. Oh. Corey Heim? Maybe?
Okay.
I'm going to say Corey. I mean, old guys and a young gun. I mean, in terms of talent level for the Truck Series right now, I think he's kind of the top of that list. So I'm going to go for it.
Yeah. I mean, I think those are solid picks right there. I mean, for the Cup one, I hate to admit that eventually Denny Hamlin's going to eventually win a championship because.
You hate to admit it.
I'd hate to admit that he's going to win one.
Oh, Rob, we have to have a conversation after this.
Because I'm one of those people.
Double down on that wording.
I hate to admit that he may win one. The reason why is because I kind of like the fact that he has the notoriety of being the best Cup driver without a Cup championship. My argument to that is that Mark Martin, the legend with him is that he's the best Cup driver to never win a championship. But that makes his legend so much bigger to me than if he were a one-time Cup champion, because you watch him on YouTube, you read books about him, you think this guy's a god. Like, he's multi-time IROC champion. He's won so many Xfinity races before Kyle Busch decimated that record. But everyone knows that he's the best driver to never win a Cup championship. And it kind of makes him a legend to me for that regard. So that's kind of how I feel with Denny Hamlin in that sense. It's like, man, if you win a championship, kind of, oh, man. Like, then who's going to be the next best driver who's never won a championship? It's like, oh, I don't know. But I like your picks. I mean, Denny Hamlin, Allgaier, you said Corey Heim for the Truck Series. I think those are three solid picks, to say the least. I almost said, the old guys are going to win it all in 2024. And yes, I will promote that video for sure. I'll do my picks and we'll hear from Brooklyn on this. So blind shot, no biasness. This is just me doing shots in the dark. So for the Cup Series, I will say William Byron on Cup.
I like that.
Yeah. For Xfinity, this is tough. I will stick with the same team, but I'm going to go with Sam Mayer.
That was my backup.
I didn't watch the video. I'm not cheating. But I just feel like Sam learned a lot in the second half of last year that he's just going to bring into this year. So going with him. And as far as the Truck Series is concerned, oh man, this is a tough one because this year's field is just so over the place. Yes, you have Grant Enfinger, you have the people from Thor Sports still around, and you know, you still got your Stuart Friesen still racing, and Spencer Boyd with that Jeff Hammond-led team with Freedom Racing Enterprises. But for me, I think in this case, I have to have my faith in a driver who is from a relatively smaller team, number 19, McAnally Hillman Racing. So I'm going to go with Christian Eckes to win the championship.
That. Okay, yeah.
I think Mr. Eckes is going to do some great things and maybe remind us of why Ron Hornaday made the Napa truck so fun to watch. I know it's now number 19, not number 16, and it's not Dale Earnhardt Incorporated. It's Bill McAnally, Hillman Racing. But we'll throw it back to 1996, 1998. and have Christian Eckes win it all. Without that mustache, he'll just be like a young Ron Hornaday. So that's
please
my
no
picks.
Mustache. No mustache. Yeah, no,
I am team no mustache. Okay. No, I didn't like it. It just looked like a mustard stain he had on his face. So
yeah.
That's my opinion. I'm sorry. As a dude, I like it to keep it clean. No mustache, no facial hair. So, I mean, if you can throw the beard, you can do it, but no mustache. No, we're not in the 80s anymore.
Depends on the person, but yeah, for this situation.
No. Just unless you want to be, you know, you're back in the 80s and you're a dad with a young family, then that's cool. But this is 2024. Let's get that razor to come back. Or if you're going to go commit to it, throw a beard. So
yeah.
That's what I say. But anyways, Brooklyn, what are your championship picks?
Okay. So I'm going to work from trucks to cup. So trucks, I've got Nick Sanchez.
Ooh, I like that too.
We almost saw him in the championship four this year. I think he's just going to have another good season. Xfinity, I've got to back up your choice, Taylor, Justin Allgaier. I'm backing him. Cup is where I have a hard time making my decision. I think for my complete just shot in the dark without seeing anybody race in 2024 in a full race, Rob, I've got to back up your choice of William Byron.
I like that you're following the lead. I'm kidding. No. William had a hell of a year last year.
He did. I mean, he did.
I will say, just a side note, but not a side note, I'm shocked none of us mentioned AJ Allmendinger for Xfinity.
You know,
I mean, go ahead.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be Justin Allgaier, AJ Allmendinger. I think they're going to be two of the four. If I had to pick my four right now, they would be, AJ Allmendinger would be in my four. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I like those two, and I'll say Cole Custer for good measure because you have to have a Ford.
I think
and
Riley
then,
Herbst can make it.
Oh, Riley Herbst.
Those would probably be my four.
You always have to look for the teams that had momentum towards the end of last year because for sure they're going to carry that into the new season.
Oh, yeah.
And you also have to love the fact that Ford just seems a little bit more committed now in the Xfinity series. So I think they're going to, you know, they want to develop their young drivers and not struggle against the likes of Chevrolet and Toyota. So I think you got to have those SHR boys in the hunt. I mean, with all the respect to my buddy AJ, I would say him, but if I had picked him, that makes me like, it's like nepotism central if I picked him. So we're not going to do that. I want it to be profesh, but you want my bias pick. That's for the after hours edition of TPF Live.
Yeah. Which, I mean, we can have our bias picks later.
Yeah. We'll have that for like, I don't know, for Patreon or something one day, but for our final thoughts with Taylor, before we get to the hot seat, you know, obviously you gave us some great picks. You talked about your story. Let me ask you this, because I thought of this question. What do you think is your biggest victory so far in your life in the world of motorsports so far?
Oh, man. Honestly, I think for me, I don't want to say it's basic, but I think making this career work, I've done things in a very untraditional way, and I've done things kind of against the grain. And making a career work that I'm passionate about, that works with my chronic illness, that works with just my passion and betting on myself. So I think the win for me is I've done things my way in a sense, and it somehow is working and I'm able to do what I love. So I think that for me, very broadly, is the win.
You've got the spirit of Alan Kulwicki within you. You just have the independent spirit to do it. And going against the grain, I think that's the greatest feeling in any career, because everyone likes to always say, well, here's how you should be doing it. And you're just like, you know what? I'm going to do it this way. Mm-hmm. And it's working. I think it's going to work as long as you want it to work. So I'm so happy with what you're doing, Taylor. I hope it keeps going for you, because I'm sure we'll have you on many more times on our show. And it wouldn't surprise me one day we see you on a PR list or a communications team in sport in NASCAR, that we'll see you on there. And I'm going to be like, man, look at that. So I'm so happy for you. And like I said, we'll have you on many more times as long as you want to be on, and certainly for our Women in Motorsports show. So I'm thankful you stopped by for this segment. And tell the fans before we get to Hot Seat, where can we find you on socials?
Absolutely. Best place to find me is just by going to abovetheyellowline.com. That's where we have all of our social pages, Above the Yellow Line on Instagram. And then we have @_TaylorKitchen_ on Twitter and TikTok. And then also Above the Yellow Line on Facebook. We're a little bit all over the place, but abovetheyellowline.com is where you can find all of that information.
Do it up, folks. Abovetheyellowline.com. ATYL, the original one, not those imitation sites that I'm not going to be, you know. That's a little inside joke between me and Taylor, but I'm so glad we had Taylor on. We'll have her on many more times, folks, but just stay tuned, Taylor, because we're going to get to the hot seat and then we'll get the final thoughts. But right now, let's hear from Todd Gilliland in our segment called Hot Seat. Welcome back to another edition of In the Hot Seat here on The Podium Finish and The Podium Finish Live. I'm Rob Tiongson, and on this edition of TPF Live, as we get into the 2024 NASCAR Cup Series season, I'm pleased to be joined by driver of the number 38 Front Row Motorsports Ford Mustang Dark Horse entry, Todd Gilliland, who's going into his third season in the Cup Series. So Todd, how's it going, my friend?
It's going really good. And yeah, like you said, I feel, you know, more confident than ever with you know, the team around me and just my experience going into my third year. So I'm really excited to get started.
It's a lot of changes going into this coming season in 2024, but let's just reflect a little bit about 2023, because you learned some good lessons, I'm sure. You got four top tens once again, and it seemed like the team was starting to build momentum going into the offseason before the LA Clash and, you know, the Daytona 500 into this season. So just kind of curious, what are some things you learned from 2023 that you're hoping to apply into 2024?
Yeah, I think there's definitely tons that we could take out of 2023. I think, you know, our highs were maybe a little bit higher. I think we had more speed at times to be, you know, more competitive in a level playing field type situation. And, you know, my first year, there's, you know, tons of tire issues. And I feel like that really kind of showed our finishes to be better than necessarily where we ran, where as last year we ran quite a bit better, especially at the beginning of the year. And then it seemed like we kind of fell off, and there's definitely some peaks and valleys. So, but yeah, hopefully we can, you know, get that closer and closer to our peak, you know, each and every week. And, but these fields are so competitive. So I've definitely learned that over my couple of years, but I think our team is capable of so much more than, you know, what we showed this year even.
And I think 2024 is so exciting for you, Todd, because I understand not only do you have the new Ford Mustang Dark Horse, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but FRM put a lot of work going into this offseason, into 2024, to really compartmentalize how things are now. So that I know the fab shop is now basically a dedicated scanning and setup area for your Ford Mustang Dark Horse entries for the Cup Series. So, you know, how beneficial is that going to be for you guys to have a dedicated space where you guys can focus on the matters at hand for the number 38 team?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, just walking into the shop, I think, you know, it's just really cool to see everyone taking pride in, you know, their workplace, their, you know, all our benches have gotten repainted. The walls look really good. And like you said, yeah, our fab shop looks awesome. You know, we have Johnny in there that has really put his heart and soul in there and, you know, painted everything, just really cleaned it up. And, I would say more than anything, it's just, you know, aesthetic stuff of, you know, what you're looking at, but, you know, eventually all that stuff carries over into, you know, like I said, pride and the pride of work that you're putting into, you know, our Dark Horse, Mustangs. And, yeah, hopefully we can, you know, carry that to better results on the racetrack.
And just how important is it for a driver like you to go to the shop and support the women and men at the shop that are building these cars or just doing some of the administrative things? Like, how much do you see that as a driver bringing some confidence and a morale booster for them to say that, hey, our guy here, our quarterback is here, he's visiting us?
Yeah, I think there's definitely something to it. I think you know, there's definitely times where, you know, I'm here more often than not. And, but yeah, I definitely think there's something to it for sure. Just being around your guys, being on the same page, I think that's the biggest thing. If you want someone else to pour their heart and soul into this, I think you have to show them that you're willing to do the same. So, that's what we're trying to do is everyone pull the rope in the same direction and as hard as they can, right? It's easy for guys to, in any type of work is, to get, passive on of what they're doing. And, but here, being a smaller team, that's one of the things that we can't do. We are limited a little bit on people, but, we make up for that in, heart and what we pour into our work here. And like you said, I think that really has to be shown from, drivers down to, every single person here. That's our main goal is to put pride into our work.
And it shows because FRM had a really great season in 2023, with Michael McDowell making the playoffs, winning at Indianapolis, and you showed some great speed towards the end of the year and showcased that, hey, you're starting to not only get the feel of it, you're belonging cup for sure. And let's talk about that Ford Mustang Dark Horse just for a little bit, because I know aesthetically it's, pretty gnarly. It's pretty cool to look at, but, from the performance side of things, how much do you think this car is going to be having a bit of an edge going into 2024 versus what the Mustang originally offered in 2022 and 2023?
Yeah, I think, as far as looks, I think it looks incredible. I think we're going to have everyone beat, showing up. All the fans are going to be hopefully taking more pictures of our cars than anyone else's just because it looks so good. But yeah, as far as performance, I would say I don't really know. I've never driven one or haven't driven one yet. And I'm excited to get behind the wheel of one. I think our body the last couple of years have had its positives and negatives. It seemed, to qualify well at the super speedways. And then going into the next year with our new body, we're hoping, to get a little bit more downforce, as is everybody in any motorsport. But that's just the constant battle. And we'll see. It definitely looks really good though. So that's all I know about it so far. And I'm just really hoping it's as fast as it looks.
I'm sure it will. And I know fans at home are just dying to see what the number 38 car looks like this year. As of right now, we don't have a paint scheme preview to show, but I'm sure in time in January, just before the Clash, we'll see what it looks like. And it'll be pretty cool to see. And one thing I wanted to talk about with you is just that you are continuing your family's legacy in the NASCAR series. Your grandfather Butch drove the number 38. That's how old I am. I remember him driving in the West Series back then. And then, of course, your father David, he drove the number 38 car and got the 2007 Daytona 500 hole in it. So I'm just kind of curious, what does it mean for you to drive this car? And what is the significance behind the number 38 for you guys to continue this on?
Yeah, I think there's a couple different layers that I think one part of, kind of the family history is, when I was racing on the West Coast in Kane and West, I think those were some of the coolest memories to me is, going to all these different short tracks of people and the fans that have been going to the same track for 20, 30 years, who have told me I saw your dad, your grandpa both race here. I think that was the first part where I realized this is really cool. And, especially on the West Coast, I think there's a lot of people out there that, like I said, I've seen now three generations race at their local short track. So, that was the first part of that was really cool. I definitely didn't know, all the history of the 38 until, I started driving in the trucks and then eventually in the Cup Series. It's pretty crazy how it all works out. I don't think, my grandpa chose it somehow. And then I honestly don't know if my dad even chose it or if it just worked out that way going to Robert Yates Racing. And then kind of the same thing here. I think when my dad was here, he kind of chose to be 38 again, because that's what he kind of ran through his whole Cup career. For that seat to open up when, just in time for, me to get, into the position to take it over, I thought, that's no better situation. That was, it's really cool.
I just love that story and the fact that number continues to be with you guys. And it just goes to show, it's not like you were begging for that number. It just so happened to fall upon your lap. And it's just kind of cool how it works in motorsports. And you talked about racing in the West Series, which is now, the Arca Menard Series West, which back then was NASCAR K&N West. I'm just kind of curious, how beneficial were those experiences and what is today the Arca West and E Series to get you prepared for racing in the Cup Series?
Yeah, I think those couple of years of K and West were so huge for me. I worked with Bill McNelly. We had Napa Auto Parts on our car, and that was really my first taste of like how you needed to represent yourself, how you needed to carry yourself around the racetrack. Bill McNelly was always a big one of you always have to have your suit up. These sponsors pay to be on your suit, and you need to have your suit up. And right, just little things like that when you're 16 years old that you don't think about. But I really give so much credit to Bill, to the professionalism of his race team out there, and working with a huge company like Napa Auto Parts. I think during those times was incredible learning experiences, and hopefully made me a better representative of our partners going forward.
I think so, because a lot of folks tend to gravitate towards you, and I've seen you at the racetrack, and you're big enough to where you're starting to see your diecast cars when you're shopping. I'm sure when you have to go to Target to get some stuff, all of a sudden, if you make your way to the toy section, there's your 38 car in diecast form. Just out of curiosity, what does that mean to you to see that? And you're like, oh my goodness, my name's on it, and there's my workplace. It's right there.
Yeah, that one was really awesome. I think just my grandpa sent me a picture of it like 2 weeks ago, like all the way in California at a random Target or Walmart, like you said. And that's just awesome. Like, I don't really know how that happened. I mean, there were some pretty like big name people, but I'm super thankful. It's really, really cool to be, literally like across the country in huge stores. So, yeah, that's awesome. That's a really good way for us to, spread our sponsors, my name, get my personality out there more. And, but yeah, that's super cool. And yeah, like you said, I just, the growth of seeing, more and more fans at the racetrack for me is one of the coolest things about, doing this.
Certainly. And I think we've seen a lot more fans over the years coming back to the racetrack, whether they're old time fans or new fans that are just excited to see the cars, but more importantly, the personalities behind those cars like you. And I have to say, we saw a lot of your personality during that Michigan rain delay in August, where Harrison Burton and Austin Cindric and you guys were playing some Nintendo's Wii games, which I was curious. I'm like, why don't you guys play Switch? But I don't know if that's a generational thing. How did that all come about, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, so that was all Austin Cindric. He has an Airstream, and he has a Wii in there. Like you said, I don't know why he has that, but so Harrison and Austin played the day before, which was Saturday night. We were supposed to race. Well, obviously we did race a little bit Sunday, and then we had a rain delay and got stuck there for another night. So, and also at the time my dad stayed with me through the weekend, but then he had to go home. So I was all out there by myself. We're all there by ourselves. And I think that was one of the most fun, rookie classes to be a part of, because obviously I knew Harrison. We had been friends for a while, and but I didn't know anything about Austin Cindric. I had obviously watched him win a championship on TV, and knew he was a good driver, but getting to know him, like, his personality is super funny, and us three definitely have a lot of fun together. So that was good. But a lot of times there's not much to do in Michigan, so it's especially on a soggy night up there. So just try to pass time, and you'll be ready for the next day.
You were right on that. I mean, when you're in a track that's in the middle of nowhere, it's kind of hard to find some entertainment. So it's good that you found it within your fraternity in the garage area. And just out of curiosity, Harrison said that he's the better of the three drivers. I talked to him earlier this year. What do you have to say to that? Like, to challenge Harrison?
He can think that whatever makes him sleep at night, that's what I'm gonna go with. But he knows deep down it. I think we all have our strengths and weaknesses. It that's funny. And but yeah, it's cool to we were going at it that night for sure.
I'll let him know. Maybe we can get the three of you guys together at Coda when I'm at the racetrack, so we can have a little friendly rivalry right there in person. But I have a couple more questions before I wrap things up. But has anyone ever confused you for a celebrity when you're at the racetrack or away from the racetrack? And if so, who have you been confused for?
So I've never been confused, like, actually in person. Well, I guess people always call me David. Like, they're just yelling, David. I'm like, oh my gosh, got the wrong guy, but kind of the right guy. I don't know. But and then on social media, people have said I look like Josh Allen a little bit. I don't really know. I don't really see it necessarily, but I've definitely had like a couple people say that. So kind of funny, kind of interesting.
Well, if they think you're Josh Allen, I hope they're not blaming you for the season that the Buffalo Bills are having, because it's been pretty rough.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can take the Josh Allen slander. Dude. He's a big dude. That's funny for sure. They'll get turned around.
I think the one thing you guys have in common is the hype. But other than that, he can throw a football. You can drive a stock car really well. So that's where the differences certainly stand out. And for me, I'm just curious for my last question. What are a few songs that you feel best personifies who you are as a person and as a driver when you're at the racetrack?
Oh, boy. I love music, but I listen to all kinds of music. I love a good old country song, too. I don't know. I don't know if there's necessarily one song. Like I said, I listen to so much music from old country to rap and everything in between. So it's a tough question. I'll have to think about it. I'll have to get back to you on that one.
That's fine. We can work on that for sure. But do you have anything you want to say to our fans or fans of yours and FRM that are going to read this article and listen to this on the podcast?
I don't know. I just, you know, as far as the fans go, like I said, I think, you know, watching my fan base grow has been really cool. But also Front Row's fan base. I think, you know, Michael's done such a good job of, you know, pushing this team to be better and better every single year. And it's really shown on the racetrack, and the fans have really followed with that. So it's been really cool. And just hopefully we can keep growing that. And yeah, just thank you for the time today.
Absolutely. And look forward to catching up with you a lot in 2024. So let's make it happen soon, my friend.
Yep. Awesome. Good talking to you.
And that was Todd Gilliland in the hot seat. My thanks to Front Row Motorsports for making that happen, of course, and to Todd for making time late last year to talk about what's going to happen this season. I know that he's excited for his third season and hopefully shutting down those critics that say, why are you in Cup? And maybe he'll be in the playoffs, like he said. So also shout out to Alex Minton for making that interview possible. You can catch the article edition of that during Daytona 500 Speed Weeks, because Nathan's going to have his own article about Todd. So it's like the bosses are kind of sharing the custody of the articles. I don't know. I put things a little bit weird on the show. Just get used to it, people. But before we wrap it up, in the words of the late Jerry Springer, this is our final thoughts. So does anyone have any final thoughts or final thoughts about this episode or racing in general, or how's life doing? So this is your time to talk.
I'm ready to go Clash racing.
Oh, I'm so ready. And I'm gonna find out who I keep bringing up this guy's name. I'm gonna find out who Machine the hell Machine Gun Kelly is.
I'm gonna have to follow him just because of this.
watch him follow the social medias for us and Taylor, and he's gonna be like, oh, he likes us, and I'm like,
wake up to like the most random like Machine Gun Kelly just falling, like, what? No,
I'll never live down the ignominy of this. And by the way, I know I didn't mention it, but Nathan Solomon has his episode off because he had a prior commitment called ESPN Plus. I'm sure he missed out a bunch on this show. So when he's back next week, he's going to find it a hot mess, but that's okay. That's what we do here. We like to have fun and, you know, talk racing. If we had all talk racing, we never had fun. Why the hell did we do a podcast? So
exactly.
And that's my final thoughts. But I'm excited for 2024. It's my 16th season covering NASCAR, and I don't take it for granted. But not just to tell the stories, it's to have my friends in this industry. You got to have friends. And I'm lucky to have my two friends here on this podcast, not to get all emotional. So I'm happy to get to do what I love and to be with the people I care about on this show. So, and yes, you too, Nathan, even though you're too busy being on ESPN Plus and probably doing a hell of a job, and I'm trying to get your ratings up, buddy. So you people tune into the games, would you? That's all I'm going to say on that. But anyways, I think it's time for us to wrap up the show. I don't want to wrap it up, but I have to. And I can see the producer, my imaginary producer, telling me that. So anyways, folks, for Taylor Kitchen and for Brooklyn Jackson, I'm Rob Tionson saying thanks so much for joining us for episode 101 of TPF Live, the world's fastest hour of racing talk. For our previous episodes, catch those on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for our next week's show, episode 102 will be happening with possibly Nathan Solomon, but we'll definitely have Jamie McMurray on the show, because Yes, we're going to talk about what's happening in 2024, and our friends over at Fox NASCAR with NASCAR Race Hub, they're going to be celebrating a milestone episode. And I won't talk about Machine Gun Kelly, I promise. But until next time, everybody, as I always like to say, let's all go get the checkered flag. And until next time, it's so long, everyone.